Tonight, I'm going to be using a lot of the NIV. There's a passage of scripture we're going to look at tonight that just is a little simpler to read in the NIV. And don't do that a whole lot, but so just want to prepare you, but we'll have it on the screen. And well, some people feel right at home because they're like, I love that NIV. But anyway, I want to start with a verse that I actually shared or mentioned, referred to just this past Sunday, John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. We know that's right. Amen. And he didn't say, now, if you go to church, don't worry about it. He didn't say, if you are a Christian, he didn't say, if you pray, you won't have any trouble. No, we all have trouble in this world. But he says, be of good cheer. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus has already won our victory, and we need to know that. We may not see it yet. We may not feel it. We might just need to remember it. Jesus has won our victory. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. See, we need to get this mindset. God gives us the victory. Whatever we're going through, whatever we're going to face, we need to remember this. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why this is so important. Because when you're dealing with problems in life and you're facing battles and struggles, it makes all the difference in the world when you know in the end, do you win? I mean, when you know absolutely in the end, I'm going to win. Your fight is different. It's a fixed fight. We know who wins in the end. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when life is just heavy, too much, take heart. He's overcome the world and he gives us the victory. In Psalm 73, and we're going to stay in Psalm 73. We're going to work our way through the whole entire chapter tonight. We'll mention some other verses along the way, but I want to just let you know we're going to keep coming back to this. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Now, when he says good to Israel, he's just talking about the people of God. And then he says, the pure in heart. That's us. Amen? Amen. Surely God is good to his people. Y'all quiet. Oh, he's so good. He's so good to us. He says, surely. It's a sure thing that God is good to us. We need to erase any doubts in our mind. Even on our worst day, God is still good. It may not look that way sometimes. The circumstances of life can be difficult, but he's still good. Sometimes we have questions with no answers. He's still good. Surely God is good to us. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. What's he talking about? He'd almost given up. He was on the verge of losing it all. You know why? Because he was thinking wrong. He was focused on the circumstances. Verse 3, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It's always a problem when we get our eyes on people. We start comparing. We start envying. And he says here, he says, I envied the arrogant, the proud, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He's looking at these people who are wicked. They're proud. They're arrogant. But he sees, in his eyes, what he sees is that they're doing good. They're prospering. It's not hard to get a bad attitude when things are going wrong for you. when things are hard, and it seems like that those who aren't even serving God sometimes, like things are just going good for them. And we see this a lot in our world. You see, what we read about in this psalm is not an isolated thing, but it's something that just about everybody faces at some point in their life. And we can get this attitude where we're even tempted to think that somehow God has been unfair. Anybody ever been there? I didn't say you did it. I said you were tempted, right? Some of you did it, right? You thought God is unfair. But any of us can fall into that trap when we get our thinking wrong. We start feeling like, well, I've done right, and yet I'm the one that's going through the hard time. You know, there's people out there that disobey God. They're living in sin. They're doing wrong. And yet I feel like I'm going through this hard place. You watch a football game or some sport, especially if your kid's in it, but even if you just have a favorite team and the referees make a bad call and it runs the game. Man, that is infuriating. And we're like, it's not fair. That's not fair. But we're not talking about a game. We're talking about life. And sometimes we just want to say, it's not fair. That's not fair. Why should I have to do that? Why should my loved one go through that? It's not fair. Why am I having a hard time with my finances? Why am I struggling with my health? Why are my kids not doing right? And I'm just telling you, we can get a bad attitude really quick when we get our eyes on other people, and not even just the wicked. But sometimes, you know, we compare with even our brothers and sisters, and we think, oh, they got it so good. Why isn't it like that for me? I mean, have you ever just wanted to question God, or, you know, just say, God, why don't you do something about all these bad people out here in the world? I think that's where this psalmist was. You ever got irritated because the Lord was so merciful? You wouldn't be the first. How about Jonah? I mean, he got angry because God showed mercy to the people of Nineveh when they repented. They repented. But Jonah's upset because he wanted them to get the judgment instead. And sometimes I think us believers can kind of get that way. But our God is a God of mercy. And I'll just remind you that blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Amen. He is merciful. Always. But we should never think that God just turns a blind eye to sin. You know, when you read through the Bible and there's so many great men and women of God, and so many of them were so flawed, and they did things that were wrong. And you know, God loved them and he forgave them. And yet there were still consequences. There was still judgment that came on their life because of their sin. And people like David, that God so loved him and blessed him, and yet there was so much trouble that came in his life because he did wrong. And so all I'm saying to you is that, yes, God is absolutely merciful, but that doesn't mean that he just turns a blind eye to wickedness. Verse 4, he says, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. The evil conceits of their mind knows no limit. I want to tell you, you can see a lot of this stuff in our culture right now. There's a lot of wicked people that seem to be so successful. They're so full of pride, and it seems like they just get away with it. He goes on and he says, they scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven. Their tongues take possession of the earth. Oh, wow. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Really? Always carefree? Increasing in wealth? I want to tell you, that's not what the scripture teaches. The way of the transgressor is hard. There may be pleasure for a sin for a pleasure. There, I got it out right. For a short time, but it won't last. Amen. I want to remind you, you don't know what others go through. You don't know what their battles are. You don't know what demons they face. You may see them laughing, but you don't know their pain. Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter, the heart may ache and joy may end in grief. And, you know, I've talked about some of these things recently and even shared some of these scriptures recently, and that bugs me. But my wife tells me that y'all don't remember everything I say. And so sometimes you might need to hear it more than once. But here's what I want to say. All these celebrities and athletes, actors, singers, all kinds of people of great fame and fortune. And yet so many of them are lonely, they're empty, they're sad people, even though they appear to have it all. Even in laughter, the heart may ache. Robin Williams, one of the funniest actors ever. The guy was just funny, even talking about nothing. He's just funny. Brought so much laughter and joy to other people, and yet he himself was so bound by addiction and depression, he eventually took his own life. And it's such a sad ending. But you see, you don't know their demons. You don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know what they face. Even with all the millions of dollars and the fame and fortune and all the success, you don't know. And yet we feel like, well, it's not fair, God. Back to Psalm 73, verse 13. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain? In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. When we serve the Lord, it is never in vain. You may not see the fruit always the way you want to. You may not always see your harvest right now, but it is never in vain. He sees and he rewards. The psalmist feels like it doesn't matter that he tried to do right. He feels like he was cheated and it's all for nothing. What good has it done me to serve God? That's a really bad place to be. Verse 14, all day long I've been plagued. I've been punished every morning. I've done right, but I'm the one that's being punished. I'm the one that's going through a hard time. You know, this is one of those messages. If you don't need it today, we'll just give it some time. You'll need it. We all go through things. We all have battles, and sometimes it feels like, you know, we're the only one that's had to face this. I want to remind you of this scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. See, every test that we go through, God will make a way. He'll give us what we need to get through it. But I want you to understand, when we read this passage and it says temptation, it's not just talking about temptation in the sense of, you know, I was tempted to do something really bad. Like this guy made me mad and I was tempted to cuss him out. It's not just talking about being tempted to commit some sin. It's talking about being tested, where you are tempted to go back on what you believe. You're tempted to no longer pursue after the purpose of God in your life. You're tempted to no longer serve the Lord, or seek to please the Lord. That's a great temptation, bigger than just being tempted to commit some particular sin. And that's really what it's talking about here, not just those actions of sin, but being tempted to give up on the Lord and give up on what you believe. And a lot of times, you see, that's what we face as believers. We need to realize God will make a way for us. We can't give up on God. We can't throw away our confidence in Him. And we can't go back on what we believe. And we can't go back on serving the Lord and seeking to please Him every day in our life. And yet we've all seen people that have walked away. I don't know about you, but sometimes I felt sorry for myself. We all have opportunities to walk away. But God is faithful. He is always faithful. And when we go through a hard time, you know, the Bible tells us how we ought to think about that. I'm going to talk about a passage of scripture that almost never gets preached because, believe me, it does not fit with the pop theology of the day. It just won't fit. And it's uncomfortable to even talk about such passages, but it's real life, and we need the truth of this passage. So I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 12. That's going to be fun, right? But, you know, I've heard people sometimes when they're going through a really hard place in life, they get to the place where they just say, well, if God loved me, He wouldn't let this happen. And they actually question the love of God. Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 8. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. We're going through a hard time. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. You are true sons and daughters. He's just saying all of us are going to be disciplined. And if you're going through a hard time as a believer, when you're going through that hard time, you need to remember, this is proof I'm God's child. I told you, nobody wants to talk about this passage of scripture. Let's just sweep it under the rug. Here's the thing, though. He tells us that when we go through hardship, we need to know that our Heavenly Father disciplines us. Now, yes, there's, you know, you can take this and run with it and get into error where you think that every time that you are attacked, I mean, you're attacked of the devil, and you think, well, God's disciplining me. That's not at all what it's saying. There's times that we have to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have to realize that it's Satan that is working against us. But we also do need to realize that sometimes, you know what? Yes, we're going through a hard time, and God is doing something for our good. I don't know about you, but, well, this is true for all of us who know the Lord. He who began a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but now for me personally, I got some places that He's had to hit me pretty hard to knock those chunks off. You know what I'm saying? And here's the thing. He knows and He sees what we don't know and what we don't see. Did you know He knows your future? And He loves you. I actually believe that God disciplines us. He works things in our life sometimes, and it can be hard because He's dealing with a character flaw in our life that could bring trouble and heartache and even destroy us. I think that one of the things that so often God deals with is our pride. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And if God can bring you, listen, if we don't humble ourselves, He does it.
If we humble ourselves, then he exalts us. But if we exalt ourselves, then he humbles us. And here's the thing. I think that a lot of the time, God will use situation and circumstances. It can be hard. We talked about that dark valley on Sunday and how it can bring us to a place of humility. I want to tell you, you see, he loves us that much that he will keep us from destroying our lives or destroying our kids' lives, messing something else up. Amen. Now, y'all can just go home and tear this passage out of your Bible, but I'm trying to tell you that it means something to us. It's in here for a reason, and it tells us that he loves us. He disciplines those he loves. He punishes everyone he accepts as a son. So endure hardship as discipline from a loving God. Back to Psalm 73, verse 15. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. You see, if we say that God has dealt with us unfairly, or that God has let us down, it brings reproach on the Lord, and it discourages others. And when we allow ourselves to speak out of that bad attitude, it tells others, including our children, that it doesn't matter if you serve the Lord. It does harm to our loved ones when we say things like the Lord has been unfair. And in fact, I'm just going to throw this out here. There are a whole lot of parents that took their kids to church and their kids didn't want to go to church when they got grown, because it wasn't just, well, we took them to church, but they said negative things about the Lord and serving the Lord and about God's people and about church. I didn't expect anybody to shout, but it's true. Don't cast a shadow on the character of God. He is good. He's always good to us. Verse 16, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. The New King James says it was too painful for me. You can't understand everything. You can't always figure it out. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are so much higher. I mean, there are a lot of things that we can't know in this life. I've met some people and heard some preachers and teachers even talk about how we know all things. No, you don't. How many stars are out there? You ain't got a clue. He knows. How many planets? How many asteroids? He knows. How many cells are in your body? How many hairs are on your head? He knows. He knows everything. Absolutely everything. And there are a lot of things that we don't know and we can't understand everything. I don't know everything about principalities and powers and demonic forces. I don't know everything about all that. And in fact, the people that act like they do are the ones that scare me. My father does. He knows everything. He knows about all the battles that are going on in the spiritual world. He knows it all. You see, we just need to get to the place where we trust our Father. I mean, sometimes your kid, you know, they're like, why? Why? And sometimes parents say, because I said so. And that ought to be good enough, right? Right. I mean, your kid ought to trust you if because I said so is good enough. We just need to trust our Father. You know, this whole thing about not understanding everything, we all live this every day. I mean, some of you wives, you start talking to your husband about your feelings, and you say, do you understand? And he's nodding his head, but you can tell the wheels might be turning, but it ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? It's just, and some of you husbands, you know, you want to talk to your wife about the car, and Now, you car girls, don't be offended at me. I know there's a few of you, but most of the time a husband starts talking to his wife about the car, it's just, it ain't working. And your kid, you know, I don't understand this new phone. Can you show me how to do that? And they say, yeah, you just do this and this. And you're going, what? How can we not understand that the God of the universe, who knows everything, knows some things that we're not going to understand? And so we just need to trust him. Even when it just seems unfair or seems wrong, we need to trust in the character of our God, that he is good. Trust him. Proverbs 3:5, we had this one last week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. See, when you're perplexed, when you're troubled, when you don't understand, you want to question, trust him. Trust him. He's always good. When I tried to understand this, it was oppressive to me. And here comes a big change. Verse 17, till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. He said, when I got in the presence of God, when I went to church, did you ever go to church and get a different perspective? I mean, for me, it happens a lot of time during the worship. When I just get my mind and my eyes on God and focus on him, all of a sudden I see things differently. And that's what happens to this man. When he gets in the presence of God, oh, a change of perspective happens. He says, then I understood their final destiny. See, he got some answers finally when he came in the presence of God. Start seeing things as they really are. You see things from his perspective, and we see beyond the here and now that eternity matters. We begin to understand that God is just and fair, that he's working it all out for our good, that in the end, he'll settle the accounts. He'll make it all right. Yes. And some of those people that appear to be getting away with everything, you're going to see that they didn't get away with nothing. Amen. And some of those that seem to have it all, when this life is over, they won't have anything. Read the story about the rich man and Lazarus that Jesus told. But the truth is that a lot of the time they don't even have anything worth having even in this life. Jesus says a man's life does not consist of his possessions. There's so much more to life than stuff. It is amazing how people are so obsessed with stuff and wealth and billionaires. Who cares? I'd rather have the Lord. I'd rather walk with the Lord. Some, they don't seem to have any trouble. They don't know what peace is. They have no idea. Verse 18, surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. See, sometimes the judgment of God comes swiftly on those that do wrong, and sometimes it seems like it never will, but it will. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. You see, this is what happens when we allow our attitude to sour. And we begin to think that God has been unfair. As we become bitter, he says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, that's a bad place to be. I was senseless. I was a brute beast before you. Senseless. You make a lot of bad mistakes when you get to that place. A brute beast. Just a dumb animal. Bitterness, it can destroy relationships. It can destroy potential. And here's where it gets good. Verse 23. Yet I am always with you. This is the most important thing. You stay with the Lord. Even when you don't understand, even when you're hurting, even when you think it's not fair, you stay with the Lord. Yet I am always with you. When everything's going wrong, even when your attitude's not right, you stay with the Lord. Yet, I was a brute beast before you. Yet, I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. He's holding my hand, y'all. That's why this is up here. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. I am always with you. Do it all, no matter what happens, whether it's abundance or lack, need, or we're in sickness and in health. Amen? I mean, we know this. We're going to be with him forever. He's going to lead us on safely. But so many serve the Lord, and yet at some point in their life, they walk away. And I'm not questioning their salvation. I don't know. That's between them and God. All I know is they're no longer serving God and really living for God and being a part of what God's doing. You know what I'm saying? They're not a part of the church anymore. They're just out there doing it the world's way, even if they call themselves a Christian. And how sad is that? Living like a senseless beast. No, I want to stay with the Lord. I am always with you. He promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us, but we just need to make sure we don't leave him. That's right. Amen. I am always with you. He is so good. He's so full of grace. He keeps his hand on us. He loves us. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you, and on earth there is nothing I desire beside you. That's where we need to be. The place where, Lord, there isn't anything in this world that I need besides you. Just give me Jesus. Love some of those old songs. You can take this world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. Amen. Just Jesus. Oh, when you really got Jesus, when you really got Jesus, when you realize what you have, you got everything you need. Amen. Why should we ever envy the wicked or feel mistreated? We have it all. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He's our strength. He's the one who sustains us. He brings us through. He satisfies us. He fulfills us. He's our peace. He's our joy. He's our healer, our provider. He supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory. He's our way maker. He's our everything. Our all in all, the Bible says. Amen. Everything that we need. Why? Why be upset over temporal things, circumstances? How much better to just remember, I am always with you. Sometimes you feel alone, but you're not. I'm always with you. It's in him we live and move and have our being. You see, now the psalmist remembers, he understands. Verse 27, those who are far from you will perish, and you destroy all who are unfaithful to you. God's word clears up the confusion. Lord, I'm always with you. Last verse. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of your deeds. So good to be near God. As if we got the Lord, we got everything that we need. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures evermore. It is good to be near God. You know, at the very beginning, when we read that very first verse of the psalm, he talked about how that God was good to Israel and the pure in heart. And you know, when he talks about the pure in heart, that doesn't mean that we are perfect. That would leave us all out. But what it does mean is that our hearts are not divided. That we don't allow anything else in our heart that would take us away from the Lord. Purify our hearts. That we get the things out of our hearts that would pull us away from Jesus. In James 4:8, it says, draw near to God. Oh, it's good to be near God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He wants our whole heart. He won't accept less. But it's so good to be near God, to know the Lord, to face life with the Lord. It's so good to know that you're going to be with him for all eternity. A place where there's no more tears, no more heartache, no more sickness, no more dying or death, no more evil. It's good to be near God. I'm with you always. I want you to stand with me and we're just going to pray.